Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, June 16th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the St. Paul Schools chief may be on the way out, and the job market in Minnesota is tight. Governor Mark Dayton said he won't call a special session anytime soon after a meeting with legislative leaders yesterday failed to make any progress toward an agreement. Tim Pugmire reports.
Dayton and top lawmakers want a special session to take up a tax bill and a bonding bill. But there are significant disagreements between Democrats and Republicans over the scope of those bills. Following the meeting, Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said funding for metro area mass transit, including Southwest Light Rail, remains a major obstacle.
I don't know yet if this is a sticking point that's going to hold everything else up. I hope it's not. But at this point, there are not enough votes to pass these bills if Southwest Light Rail is included.
DFL House Minority Leader Paul Thiessen said Republicans are refusing to budge on several key issues, including state security hospital improvements and college campus construction. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A former nonprofit executive indicted on charges that he used taxpayer money for lavish trips and personal purchases is expected to change his plea today to guilty. Brian Baxt reports.
Bill Davis had been due to go on trial next week on 16 federal counts of fraud and theft for allegedly misusing hundreds of thousands of dollars of public money while leading Community Action of Minneapolis. He pleaded not guilty last fall. Davis didn't return multiple messages, and his attorney declined comment. A U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman offered no additional details. The organization's mission was to provide poor city residents with heating and nutrition assistance, but it was shuttered after the Davis allegations surfaced. Davis has extensive Democratic political connections, and state and federal lawmakers had served on the organization's board, but federal prosecutors have said Davis deceived the governing board. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
St. Paul School Superintendent Valeria Silva appears to be on her way out. The school board announced yesterday that it's discussing options for Silva to transition out of her role. Silva has been St. Paul Superintendent since 2009. Her tenure has become controversial, with much of the debate centering on her efforts to reduce racial disparities in both academics and discipline. Solveig Wastvedt has the story.
If the board decides to remove Superintendent Valeria Silva without grounds for firing before her contract expires in December 2018, the district will have to pay her current salary and benefits for the rest of the contract. That buyout could be reduced if Silva gets a job at a school in another metro area district. The board can also reassign Silva in St. Paul while maintaining her current pay. Whatever happens, both Silva's supporters and her critics agree on one thing. The announcement does not surprise them. Christy Pierce is a cultural specialist at Como Park High School.
If I was her, I'd leave probably too. I'd explore options. I think the district has just become so toxic. And I admire her courage and strength to have endured this long with what she's had to face.
Pierce supports Silva's efforts to reduce racial disparities in discipline and provide racial equity training for teachers. Silva launched a racial equity initiative in 2010, shortly after she arrived in the district. But that effort, along with other initiatives, has drawn criticism from others. The majority of the board that renewed Silva's contract last year was replaced soon after in a movement led by her critics. Then in February, Silva announced that she would not stay on after her contract expires in less than 2 years. At the time, one board member doubted whether she should remain in the role that long. Como Park teacher Roy Magnuson says Silva's leadership style has resulted in low staff morale.
A top-down style of leadership that did not honor the experience of people working in the schools, oftentimes ignored parents, and created a series of stresses that caused a huge amount of conflict in many of our schools.
Magnuson says that conflict has reduced the public's confidence in the district. St. Paul had several incidents of student violence against teachers last year. Central High School parent Ann Hobby says public distrust means the district needs a new leader.
I think that no matter what she did right now, Superintendent Silva just wasn't going to be able to turn it around in terms of public opinion. I think she was going to be thwarted no matter which direction she went, rightly or wrongly.
Hobby also would like to see the district become more collaborative. Former St. Paul School Board member Keith Hardy was disappointed at the announcement that Silva may leave sooner. Hardy says the superintendent made an effort to be more collaborative during his time on the board.
We want to have input from stakeholders that lead to decisions, but at the end of the day, there's one person who is held accountable for what happens in a school district. That's what that person is hired for.
Disparities in suspension rates between black and white students have not budged during Silva's tenure. But on academics, the district saw progress. Gaps in graduation rates between white students and students of color are smaller. Black Lives Matter St. Paul leader Rashad Turner worries about what will happen to Silva's equity work if she leaves.
I think personally that it's unfortunate for our students. Here we have a woman who has dedicated her career and time as superintendent to racial equity. And I think that, you know, that's really the root of the problem. When you focus on students of color and trying to really eliminate the disparities that are present, that have continued to be there, I think you catch some flack for that.
Silva and board members would not speak about the announcement yesterday, but more definitive action on her status is expected soon. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The job market seems to be improving in Minnesota. Unemployment in the state is about where it was before the recession, and the average wage for private sector jobs has been growing at a healthy clip. Martin Moylan has more.
Minnesota is generally a good place to be looking for a job. Given the strength of the state's economy, employer demand for workers, and the growing need to replace retiring baby boomers, the state's unemployment rate has held steady at 3.8%, more than a full percentage point under the national average. But Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development economist Steve Hine says a rise in average private sector wages is an especially telling indication of a tightening labor market.
Our wage rate is up over a year ago by 3.5%, the rate that we have not seen since we started collecting these data about 10 years ago.
Here in downtown Minneapolis, several people concurred that the job market is looking up. After college, University of St. Thomas graduate Joe Nowitzki landed a job selling medical devices early in his job hunt.
For myself and my friends who are also from the area, I think it's been pretty easy to find jobs.
Given the current job market, Asante Simmons of St. Paul is eagerly looking forward to completing work on his computer science degree. He sees plenty of opportunity for people who understand computers and software.
Just know a little bit about computers and you'll be fine.
And many unskilled jobs are paying more than the state's $9 an hour minimum wage.
Man, there's a lot of jobs out here.
Alonzo Elam of North Minneapolis is a volunteer with Mad Dads, which stands for Men Against Destruction, Defending Against Drugs and Social Disorder.
You don't necessarily have to have this super big education, a college education, and you can still get a job.
But if times are good for workers, many employers are struggling to find people. They're not only spending more on wages, they're turning to other strategies to procure the skills they need. APRA Auto Body is worried about securing a steady supply of repair technicians for its some 340 shops around the country, including this one in the company's hometown of Brooklyn Park. ABRA is already paying a $2,500 bounty to anyone who refers a qualified technician. And next month, the company is offering free on-the-job training. ABRA's chief people officer, David Kuhl, says the auto body repair industry will need more than 100,000 workers in the next decade to replace retirees. And he says the jobs are more desirable than many might think.
Although it is a blue-collar job, it is highly technical, highly skilled. You're using computers and using very sophisticated technology to really make cars beautiful again.
And Kuhl says the company's techs pull down $80,000 a year on average. And if that's not enough of an inducement, the company will pay trainees during a five-week course and set them up with tools and a job when they graduate. Needless to say, not everyone is feeling flush. A Federal Reserve survey found about a third of adults said they were struggling or just getting by last year. But the survey also found more people with a sense of financial well-being, not only in total, but across income and education levels. In the white-collar world, workers with valued accounting, finance, information technology, and other skills are frequently finding many suitors. Kathy Northamer is a district director with a Robert Half recruitment firm.
We're seeing candidates have four or five offers at the same time, and they use those offers to play off of other offers. So better work-life balance here, more vacation here.
And Northamer's firm says companies are increasingly making counteroffers to employees headed out the door, sometimes promising five-figure pay hikes. Employers are even taking more interest in those English majors and other liberal arts graduates. Paul Timmons is Director of Career Services at the University of Minnesota's College of Liberal Arts.
We've seen record attendance in the last couple of years in terms of employers attending all of our big job fairs, both for CLA and for the University of Minnesota system-wide.
And Timmons says it feels like the market is still getting better. Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio News.